all dogs are animals, but not all animals are dogs. Just because, you know, your animal doesn't qualify you to be a dog. That's the second quality. It's imparted. The only person who can make you holy and an object holy is one who is holy. You cannot make yourselves holy. That's an interesting concept that God was bringing forth. It is imparted, not acquired. That means that, let's say, if you are holy by the blood of the Lamb and you want a greater degree of holiness, your progression is not by acquisition, but by impartation. In other words, you would wait upon the Lord to bring you nearer. And then you experience the Lord. And then the Lord brings you nearer. And you experience the Lord. Because the Lord has to prepare you to meet with Him. So each progression is by an impartation. That means you have to wait upon the Lord to impart an ability to get further. Not struggle to acquire it. Time is still involved, effort is still involved, but notice this, an effort to receive is different from an effort to acquire. You take that into the business world, you understand the difference. An effort to receive is different from an effort to acquire. Effort to receive is something is already there, a sign for you. You do take some effort to receive what is there. It's a different type of effort from the effort to acquire. Where it's not yours, you got to bring yourself and try to acquire those things. It's a whole different thing. It's as different as this. It's like there is a market for a product. And everyone is crying out for that product. And you just filling the niche in the market that is already there. There is an effort to do that from trying to build an entire market for something that nobody wants. And at the same time trying to capture the market. It's a whole different ball game and a whole different story. For example, you know, let's say if it's a fly season and you got a fly swatter for 10 cents. Nice looking fly swatter. So let's say there are flies around and everyone's trying to get a fly. So you got this fly swatter. You have a market for fly swatters. But then you got this $1,000 fly swatter. Gold tip. Gold edge. And you're trying to get everyone to buy it. Nobody wants to buy it. Why? In the first place, they use it, they keep losing their gold. Right? The gold scatters all over the place. And nobody wants it. Or, you know, in a time when people are facing, when there's a food crisis, and everyone is just hungry, there's not enough food going around. Everyone needs food. And if you have food, wow, everyone would get those food. Let's say everyone hasn't eaten for a whole week or they couldn't find any food in the whole countryside. And you're the one who has the food. Of course, everyone would take the food from you. But here you are on this island and everyone needs food. And you came and said, anybody interested in a gold back scratcher? They have to feel their stomachs. They're not going to scratch your back. Right. It's a different effort. And there you are trying to sell a back scratcher to people who are starving. Right. In the first place, there's no market. And think about how your efforts are going to go to waste. By hook and by crook. By torture and by coercing. You got one of your back scratchers sold and bankrupt that guy. He died of starvation after he bought a back scratcher from you. No money for food. The effort to acquire and the effort to receive is different. It's a different effort. If you understand that holiness is imparted, then you must know how to bring yourself to the position to receive it. It's a totally different effort. And I'll just go on to the next qualification, but not go into details on it as we conclude. The third quality is that holiness is past, present, and future. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says here in verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now the word sanctification is holiness. So Christ has become our holiness, our sanctification. Then look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And and it tells us here, verse 11. And such were some of you, talking about the old lives, but you were washed, you were sanctified. Now that's past tense. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So it's a past tense. You were sanctified when you came into Christ. Cross-reference to the book of Hebrews. The passage that we're looking on. Hebrews chapter 6. Book of Hebrews. And let's look first of all at verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So there is a foundation that is laid, and he asked them to move forward to something that is yet to come. And go over now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, it tells us here, in Paul's prayer for them, he says, I pray that the God of peace would set you apart or sanctify you completely, spirit, soul, and body. Now, that is in the future. He's talking and preserving you blameless in that same passage until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's your spirit, there's your soul, and there's your body, and you're preserved to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is referring to the future. Until Jesus comes, He needs to preserve you in that state of sanctification. Now, that's in a future tense. And one more from Hebrew. And Hebrews 2 verse 11. Hebrews 2 verse 11. Just leave the scriptures with you. Hebrews 2 verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And he continues with other words. Now, some of the definitions that came out at the beginning of today was some of you recognize that you're holy and yet you're progressing in holiness. And all these things come when you bring the third quality here, that sanctification is past, present, it says you're being sanctified, and future. So it's an entire road that continues. That of course ties together with the first one where there's progression. And the progression comes, we are told, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, is because we have a spirit, soul, and body. You're sanctified in your spirit. You're being sanctified in your soul. Your body will be fully sanctified when Christ comes again. Spirit, soul, and body. And so there are three qualities of holiness. But what exactly is holiness? I leave you with one definition and then we'll look more at it as we progress. With one little scripture in the book of Exodus chapter 28. And it gives you a clue what holiness means. Holiness means separation and godliness to us. But what does holiness mean to God? Right, when you say holiness is godliness, you're looking at holiness from man's perspective, looking at God. But since God says, I am holy, and you must be holy unto me, what is holiness to God's perspective? Of course, being like Him, but is there some more? Look at the book of Exodus 28, and we read that verse and draw a conclusion for us to progress to the next week. And it's found just in a little clue when he asked them to make his garments. In chapter 28 verse 2. Exodus 28 verse 2. You shall make holy garments. Now look at the words. Holy garments. For Aaron your brother. For glory. And for beauty. What is holiness? What is the definition of holiness in the Bible? Holiness is beauty. So when God says, be holy as I'm holy, He's actually saying, be beautiful as I, the Lord your God, dwell in great beauty, in holiness. What is beauty? Some people say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But unfortunately, science has proved that wrong. Because they found that the average concept of what people call handsome or beautiful in another person is basically that that face tends to be an average face of what everyone sees it. So, let's say I take all your faces and use a computer program to mop all the faces together and make an average face. All of us will find the average face nicer than any other face. Because you tend to see something in it. And what is beauty? I leave it with you three little concepts. Beauty has form, which means there's a mathematical beauty to it. Color is involved in our human concepts and association. A spider in a nice looking spider web, unless you hate spiders, that is, have its own association with that. It looks in its right place. But a spider on top of your sandwich just doesn't look beautiful.